This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Principles by Ray Dalio. Read by Ray Dalio with Jeremy Bob.
Introduction. Before I tell you what I think, I want to establish the fact that I'm a dumb shit who doesn't know much relative to what I need to know. Whatever success I've had in life has had more to do with my knowing how to deal with my not knowing than anything I know. The most important thing I learned is an approach to life based on principles that helps me find out what's true and what to do about it. I'm passing along these principles because I'm now at a stage in my life in which I want to help others be successful rather than to be more successful myself. Because these principles have helped me and others so much, I want to share them with you. It's up to you to decide how valuable they really are and what, if anything, you want to do with them. Principles are fundamental truths that serve as the foundations for behavior that gets you what you want out of life. They can be applied again and again in similar situations to help you achieve your goals. Every day, each one of us is faced with a blizzard of situations we must respond to. Without principles, we would be forced to react to all the things that life throws at us individually, as if we were experiencing each of them for the first time. If instead we classify these situations into types and have good principles for dealing with each of them, we will make better decisions more quickly and have better lives as a result. Having a good set of principles is like having a good collection of recipes for success. All successful people operate by principles that can help them be successful, though what they choose to be successful at varies enormously, so their principles vary. To be principled means to consistently operate with principles that can be clearly explained. Unfortunately, most people can't do that, and it's very rare for people to write their principles down and share them. That's a shame. I would love to know what principles guided Albert Einstein, Steve Jobs, Winston Churchill, Leonardo da Vinci, and others, so I could clearly understand what they were going after and how they achieved it, and could compare that with different approaches. I'd like to know which principles are most important to the politicians who want me to vote for them, and to all the other people whose decisions affect me. Do we have common principles that bind us together as a family, as a community, as a nation, as friends across nations? Or do we have opposing principles that divide us? What are they? Let's be specific. This is a time when it is especially important for us to be clear about our principles. My hope is that listening to this audiobook will prompt you and others to discover your own principles from wherever you think is best, and ideally write them down. Doing that will allow you and others to be clear about what your principles are and understand each other better. It will allow you to refine them as you encounter more experiences and to reflect on them, which will help you make better decisions and be better understood. Having your own principles. We come by our principles in different ways. Sometimes we gain them through our own experiences and reflections. Sometimes we accept them from others, like our parents, or we adopt holistic packages of principles, such as those from religions and legal frameworks. Because we each have our own goals and our own natures, each of us must choose our own principles to match them. While it isn't a bad thing to use others' principles, adopting principles without giving them much thought can expose you to the risk of acting in ways that are inconsistent with your own goals and your own nature. At the same time, you, like me, probably don't know everything you need to know and would be wise to embrace that fact. If you can think for yourself while being open-minded in a clear-headed way to find out what's best for you to do, and if you can summon up the courage to do it, you will make the most of your life. If you can't do that, you should reflect on why that is, because that's most likely your greatest impediment to getting more out of what you want out of life. That brings me to my first principle. Think for yourself to first decide, what do you want? And second, what is true? And third, what should you do to achieve what you want in light of what is true? And do that with humility and open-mindedness so that you consider the best thinking available to you. Being clear on your principles is most important because they will affect all aspects of your life many times a day. For example, when you enter into relationships with others, your principles and their principles will determine how you interact. People who have shared values and principles get along. People who don't will suffer through constant misunderstandings and conflicts. Think about the people you are closest to. Are their values aligned with yours? Do you even know what their values or principles are? Too often in relationships, people's principles aren't clear. This is especially problematic in organizations where people need to have shared principles in order to be successful. And it is why I labored so much over every sentence in this book. In other words, to be clear. The principles you choose can be anything you want them to be, as long as they're authentic. In other words, as long as they reflect your true character and values. You will be faced with millions of choices in life, and the way you make them will reflect the principles you have. So it won't be long before the people around you will be able to tell the principles you're really operating by. The worst thing you could do is be a phony, because if you're a phony, you will lose people's trust and your own self-respect. So you must be clear about your principles, and then you must walk the talk. If inconsistencies seem to exist, you should explain them. It's best to do that in writing because by doing so, you will refine your written principles. While I will be sharing my own principles, I want to make clear to you that I don't expect you to follow them blindly. On the contrary, I want you to question every word and pick and choose among these principles so you come away with a mix that suits you. My principles and how I learned them. I learned my principles over a lifetime of making a lot of mistakes and spending a lot of time reflecting on them. Since I was a kid, I've been a curious, independent thinker who ran after audacious goals. I got excited about visualizing things to go after, had some painful failures going after them, learned principles that would prevent me from making the same sort of mistakes again, and changed and improved, which allowed me to imagine and go after even more audacious goals and do that rapidly and repeatedly for a long time. I believe that the key to success lies in knowing how to both strive for a lot and fail well. By failing well, I mean being able to experience painful failures that provide big learnings without failing badly enough to get knocked out of the game. This way of learning and improving has been best for me because of what I'm like and because of what I do. I've always had a bad rote memory and didn't like following other people's instructions, but I loved figuring out how things work for myself. I hated school because of my bad rote memory, but when I was 12, I fell in love with trading the markets. To make money in the markets, one needs to be an independent thinker who bets against the consensus and is right. That's because the consensus view is baked into the price. One is inevitably going to be painfully wrong a lot, So knowing how to do that well is critical to one's success. To be a successful entrepreneur, the same is true. One has to be an independent thinker who correctly bets against the consensus, which means being painfully wrong a fair amount. Since I was both an investor and an entrepreneur, I developed a healthy fear of being wrong and figured out an approach to decision-making that would maximize my odds of being right. Make believability-weighted decisions. My painful mistakes shifted me from having a perspective of, I know I'm right, to having one of, how do I know I'm right? They gave me the humility I needed to balance my audacity. Knowing that I could be painfully wrong, and curiosity about why other smart people saw things differently, prompted me to look at things through the eyes of others as well as my own. That allowed me to see many more dimensions than if I saw things just through my own eyes. Learning how to weigh people's inputs so that I chose the best ones, in other words, so that I believability weighted my decision making, increased my chances of being right and was thrilling. At the same time, I learned to operate by principles that are so clearly laid out that their logic can easily be assessed and you and others can see if you walk the talk. Experience taught me how invaluable it is to reflect on and write down my decision-making criteria whenever I made a decision, so I got in the habit of doing that. With time, my collection of principles became like a collection of recipes for decision-making. By sharing them with the people at my company, Bridgewater Associates, and inviting them to help me test my principles in action, I continually refined and evolved them. In fact, I was able to refine them to the point that I could see how important it is to systemize your decision-making. I discovered that I could do that by expressing my decision-making criteria in the form of algorithms that I could embed into our computers. By running both decision-making systems, in other words, mine in my head and mine in the computer, next to each other, I learned the computer could make better decisions than me because it could process vastly more information than I could, and it could do it faster and unemotionally. Doing that allowed me and the people I worked with to compound our understanding over time and to improve the quality of our collective decision-making. I discovered that such decision-making systems, especially when believability-weighted, are incredibly powerful and will soon profoundly change how people around the world make all kinds of decisions. Our principle-driven approach to decision-making has not only improved our economic, investment, and management decisions, it has helped us make better decisions in every aspect of our lives. Whether or not your principles are systemized or computerized is of secondary importance, though. The most important thing is that you develop your own principles and ideally write them down, especially if you are working with others. It was that approach and the principles it yielded, and not me, that took me from being an ordinary middle-class kid from Long Island to being successful by a number of conventional measures. Like starting a company out of my two-bedroom apartment and building it into the fifth most important private company in the U.S. according to Fortune, becoming one of the 100 richest people in the world according to Forbes, and being considered one of the 100 most influential people according to Time. These principles led me to a perch from which I got to see success and life very differently than I had imagined. And they gave me the meaningful work and meaningful relationships that I value even more than my conventional successes. They gave me and Bridgewater far more than I ever dreamed of. Until recently, I didn't want to share these principles outside of Bridgewater because I don't like public attention and because I thought it would be presumptuous of me to tell others what principles they should have. But after Bridgewater successfully anticipated the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009, I got a lot of media attention, and so did my principles and Bridgewater's unique way of operating. Most of these stories were distorted and sensationalistic, so in 2010, I posted our principles on the website so people could judge them for themselves. To my surprise, they were downloaded over 3 million times, and I was flooded with lots of thank you letters from all over the world. I will give them to you in two books. Life and Work Principles, which is the one you're getting now, and Economic and Investment Principles, which will follow. How these books are organized. Since I've spent most of my adult life thinking about economics and investing, I considered writing about economic and investment principles first. But I decided to begin with my life and work principles because they're more overarching, and I've seen how well they work for people independent of their careers. Since they go so well together, they're combined here in one book, prefaced with a short autobiography, Where I'm Coming From. Part 1, Where I'm Coming From. In this part, I share some of the experiences, most importantly my mistakes, that led me to discover the principles that guide my decision-making. To tell you the truth, I have mixed feelings about telling you my personal story because I worry that it might distract you from the principles themselves and from the timeless and universal cause-effect relationships that inform them. For that reason, I wouldn't mind if you decided to skip this part of the audiobook. If you decide to go through it, try to look past me and my particular story to the logic and merit of the principles I describe. Think about them, weigh them, and decide how much, if any, they apply to you and your own life circumstances. And specifically, whether they can help you achieve your goals, whatever they might be. Part 2, Life Principles. The overarching principles that drive my approach to everything are laid out in Life Principles. In this section, I explain my principles in greater depth and show you how they apply to the natural world, our private lives and relationships, in business and policy making, and of course at Bridgewater. I'll share the 5-step process I've developed for achieving one's goals and making effective decisions. I'll also share some of the insights I gained into psychology and neuroscience and explain how I've applied them in my private life and in my business. This is the real heart of the book, because it shows how these principles can be applied to most anything by most anyone. Part 3, Work Principles. In Work Principles, you'll get a close-up view of the unusual way we operate at Bridgewater. I will explain how we've coalesced our principles into an idea meritocracy that strives to deliver meaningful work and meaningful relationships through radical truth and radical transparency. I'll show you how this works at a granular level and how it can be applied to nearly any organization to make it more effective. As you will see, we are simply a group of people who are striving to be excellent at what we do and who recognize that we don't know much relative to what we need to know. We believe that thoughtful, unemotional disagreement by independent thinkers can be converted into believability-weighted decision-making that is smarter and more effective than the sum of its parts. Because the power of a group is so much greater than the power of an individual, I believe these work principles are even more important than the life principles on which they're based. What will follow this book? This print book and audio book will be followed by an interactive book that is in the form of an app that will take you into videos and immersive experiences so that your learning will become much more experiential. The app will also get to know you through your interactions with it in order to provide you with much more personalized advice. This book and app will be followed by another volume containing two other parts, Economic and Investment Principles, in which I will pass along the principles that have worked for me and that I believe might help you in these areas. After that, there will be no advice that I can give that will not be available in these two books, and I will be done with this phase of my life.